Hello, critics, non-critics, and friends. Welcome to the Film Optics Podcast, where we take a glance into blockbusters, indie films, and everything in between. I'm your host, Christian, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in film, Devin. And today, we're here to present our review of Bob Marley, One Love. And before we begin today's episode, you can listen to our podcast on podcast platforms around the internet. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. And if you are a new or seasoned listener to the show, we would love to hear from you guys. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at FilmOptics. That is optics with an X. Or you can email us at filmoptics@gmail.com for any movie-related questions. Devin, happy Taco Tuesday as we are recording this on Taco Tuesday. A few days. Actually, no. We're recording this the day before Valentine's Day. And I have to ask you, Devin, do you have any Valentine's plans? Do you have a Valentine? Or is it going to be more of a... What's the opposite of Galentine? A Bro-entine? I don't know.
Palentine.
Yeah. So you got any fun Valentine's Day plans? Or you're kind of just hanging out?
Well, tomorrow's a big day. It's on a hump day of all days.
It's pretty fitting. Very fitting. Very fitting.
I know the new Love is Blind is coming out tomorrow. So if all else fails, there's always that to fall back on.
Oh, that's true. See, that's more of a understandable thing to like release on Valentine's Day, especially for us, a single folk out there. You know, it's Valentine's Day, it's whatever.
Yeah, you don't want to take a girl to go see Madam Web?
I'll take a girl to see Adam Web.
And hide your drool whenever City Sweeney's on the screen.
Oh boy. Ooh, that movie, Rotten Tomatoes has not been kind to that movie, at least on the critic side for sure. But yeah, I actually do have Valentine's Day plans, but it's not what you think. I have a lot to celebrate this week. One of my friends, his name is Matt, he's turning 30 on Valentine's Day. So,
wow. How depressing / romantic.
right? So yeah, we're doing like a little birthday dinner for him. So this is he'll probably won't hear this until after because this is not coming out till next week. But yeah. Happy belated birthday to my friend Matt out there. And I also had another friend's birthday, which is actually today. So I got to go out and celebrate for that as well. So by the time he listens to this, by the time this is out in the wild, it's a surprise party. So it's like by the time this releases, the surprise has already been done. So we have like a surprise party for him. He has no clue. At least I don't think he had any clue, but yeah. And then I got Madam Web watching that the day after Valentine's Day. So yeah, I technically do have Valentine's Day plans. But with all that out of the way, as we have mentioned before, we're going to be giving our review of Bob Marley, One Love. This is a musical biopic or biopic, however you decide to pronounce it. There's no spoilers, really. Again, this is like a historic biopic. The runtime is around 1 hour and 45 minutes. So honestly, not too bad for a biopic. Usually they are a little bit longer. But, you know, since these are, you know, covering real world events, much like we've done in the past with other movies. Yeah, there's no spoilers. So we're just going to talk about the movie at face value at, you know, what we saw. We saw it last night. A few days ago. So we're just going to give our impressions all together. So without further delay, we'll be right back after this introduction to Bob Marley, One Love.
Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs.
When you write that?
All my life.
Are you ready for Bob Marley and the Wailers?
Reggae is the people music.
You know you're a superstar.
I am a superstar. You can't separate the music and the message. You see, reggae music come to unify the people.
Not everyone likes what you're saying. For your own safety, you need to stop.
And we are back with our Bob Marley One Love review. And the synopsis is as follows for those who are not familiar about what this movie is about. The story of how reggae iconic Bob Marley overcame adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music. That is like the long and short of it. It is supposed to be a not day in the life situation of Bob Marley, but you know, a movie covering his life. And I gotta say, it's, you know, just a little bit of pretense. I think the idea is amazing. You know, we have a lot of great biopics out there, and it's like, oh my gosh, like who doesn't love Bob Marley, right? But there seems to be a few things missing, but I will have my chance to speak here in a bit. But I just wanted to kind of throw that out there because I'm like, man, I liked it, but it wasn't, there's a lot that happens, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The director of this film is Ronaldo Marcus Green, and the writers include Zach Balin, Terrence Winter, and Frank E. Flowers, and stars James Norton, Lashana Lynch, and Kingsley Ben-Adir. So we're just going to get straight on into it. I'm going to pass it over to Devin because he technically saw the movie before I did. Even though we saw it on the same day, I think you went into your screening an hour before. So what are your thoughts on this film?
Yeah, going into this one, a little bit of background. I'm sure a lot of people had their little Bob Marley phase throughout sometime in high school or college. Definitely had that at some point too. I think one year I dressed up as Bob Marley for Halloween. There was no paint involved. Don't worry. None of that. But I remember getting the dreads and like, I think I got like a fake cigar and that's what I was dressed up as.
Yeah.
Just one of those phases, you know, you just got to go through it.
For those who do not know, Devin is, for those wondering what Devin's color is.
Not that color.
Well, hey, we had this discussion when we were kids when our friend group thought that, you know, we were race swapping. Like they thought I was white and you were black. And then when they, you know, when we did our little Xbox meetup, it was like, whoa. I'm sorry.
I should have had my costume on.
I know, exactly. Like, hey, my name is Devin. What's up, man?
But yeah, that just kind of shows like his everlasting effect on music in general, that it, like all these generations later, his songs can still just like hit and have influence in people's lives. So definitely a fan of his music overall and what he stood for. And my screening was actually at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was really cool.
Oh,
they wow. like to do screenings for different biopics, musical biopics, whenever they happen. The last one last year was for that Spinning Gold movie that was definitely a smaller one.
Yeah.
Didn't really have much of an impact. But
is he in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I'm assuming he is, but I could be
wrong. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing. I hadn't seen him in there anywhere, but... Mm. There's a lot to explore. But yeah, it was really cool to be able to watch it there. And definitely seemed like the audience there was enjoying it. I think overall, it was a solid biopic. Like, I think I might like it better than Bohemian Rhapsody. Definitely not as good as Rocketman. Rocketman, to me, is like the peak as far as musical biopic. I think the main issue here, I think Kingsley Ben-Adir did a good job overall, but he just does not look like Bob Marley. And that's like really the biggest issue for me. He's just so much larger. Like he's just such a bigger human than Bob Marley was. I think there's like a 6-inch difference or something in their height alone. And then you add in the weight too. It's like, he's obviously been working out and everything. He was obviously in Secret Invasion and he was in Barbie as well as a Ken. So he had to be in good shape for those. So he couldn't really shrink down to complete Bob Marley size. And it just kind of, certain scenes, it just does not look right and it doesn't feel right. I think the rest of the cast does a great job. Like, I think Lashana Lynch was great as Rita Marley. I think they definitely committed to the role and definitely got like involved in the culture. And I think it was really cool that it was shot in actual Kingston, Jamaica, like on location. They didn't cheap out or anything there. They did all on location filming, it seemed like, for the most part. And I think overall it's shot pretty well. I just think, like you said, there's just some issues here and there where it doesn't all come together. There's definitely some conflicts that come up that don't really ever get resolutions. And it's just kind of, they just kind of sit there and you just kind of, movie just kind of ends and nothing comes of it. It is on the shorter side for a biopic. It's about an hour 47, which I didn't mind, but definitely seemed like they could have added a little bit more with the certain things they set up throughout the movie.
Honestly, I agree with you on a lot of your points there. You know, like when it comes to biopics, it's usually the one genre that everyone just eats up because, you know, they love to see their favorite celebrity, whether it be a musical biopic like Tick, Tick, Boom, or like you said, with Rocket Man, or even with Bohemian Rhapsody. And my personal favorite, I think that's still The Bar, Walk the Line, with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. Like, for me, that's still like the bar when it comes to musical biopics, if anything else. But I do agree with what you're saying. I liked the movie. Like, you know, like you said, who doesn't like Bob Marley? Everyone's gone through the Bob Marley phase. And I feel like biopics have at least three jobs that they need to accomplish in order to be successful. The first thing is that it re-inspires you to go back and listen to that person's music. Because, you know, it's been a while since I've listened to Bob Marley, and I was like, man, you know, like, it really just, it put me in the mood to be like, I want to go back and revisit his old songs, you know, throw it into my Spotify heavy music rotation, and for it to be, you know, for not like a second life, but for it to, you know, be a part of my listening experience again. You know, like, we all have those bands or artists that we listened to like ages ago, and then, you know, you turn on like one of your like mixed playlists that like Spotify is like curated for you or whatever, and you're like, man, I totally forgot that. Yeah, I used to listen to this all the time. My gosh, I want to revisit that experience. And I feel like for Bob Marley, for One Love, it did that for me. The second aspect that I think that a musical biopic or any biopic should do is you should leave the theater walking out, learning something new about said person. Now, there was a few things that I already knew, but I did not know that Bob Marley was like got like shot like not at point blank range, and a few pretty other close things. Yeah, like pretty close. Basically, you know, you're sitting there, you know, he didn't fight back. That's not the kind of person he was. But yeah, there were things that I learned about Bob Marley after I left the theater. So I think it did a good job with that. The third thing is, I feel like this film or any biopic needs to, and it's tough to do this nowadays because there's other avenues you can take. Bob Marley was such an influence on like music culture and, you know, politically, everything that he stood for. It is so hard to create a biopic about Bob Marley's life in an hour and 45 minutes. There's simply too much. And this movie focuses more on his adult life. Like, they kind of focus on his upbringing a little bit. But nowadays, I think when it comes to musical biopics, I think a documentary style is better suited. I'm not sure if you've seen the Bee Gees documentary that is on Max or HBO Max.
I have not.
It is called How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? It is phenomenal. I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite musical documentaries out there. And it's around 2 hours. It's like an hour and 51 minutes. And I learned so much about the Bee Gees I did not know prior. And it also gave me that resurgence to listen to their music again and add it to my heavy rotation of artists that I listen to on Spotify. So I think the third thing, like I was saying, and it's more of, you know, does the movie do justice to the person that you were covering? You know, if it's going to be a movie, that's fine. I feel like films like Tick, Tick, Boom, when they're talking about Jonathan Larson, or Walk the Line when it comes to Johnny Cash, those are two movies that are, you know, around maybe a little bit longer than One Love, that they're around like an hour, like 2 hours, maybe 2 hours, 10 minutes, where I felt like I learned so much about that person. And I was like, my gosh, like it can be done. But with the Bob Marley movie, I feel like they were jumping all over the place. Like there was a lot of ground to cover and just not enough time.
Yeah, there are a lot of flashbacks that kind of just kind of like hit you. Like you don't have to like do a whole like, oh, we're doing a flashback now. But there are some scenes where it's just like, oh, we're in a flashback. I didn't even notice because
right.
It didn't really change much on the screen.
Yeah. And I think the one easy way to tell, like outside of the timestamps they had, an easy way to tell where you kind of were in Bob's life was his hair. Cause like, you know, he was like a younger adult when you first start the film, you know, like he's already like established. It's not really more of his upbringing.
Yeah. I was trying to pick out who he was in the younger group. I was like, all right, which one's Bob? Let's see. And then,
yeah.
And then he starts singing. I was like, oh, it's that one. Okay.
Yeah. And then when he gets a little bit older, obviously, you know, his hair is a little bit longer. Whatnot, but yeah, like I enjoyed it, but it is very surface level, like Bohemian Rhapsody. But I agree with you, I liked it better than Bohemian Rhapsody. But Rocket Man,
yeah, it definitely plays it safe.
Yeah, and I think that is I think it's an issue when it comes to these biopics, like whether it's a musical biopic or not. If you're going to make a musical biopic about someone, and we know the Michael Jackson biopic is coming up within like the next year or two. Like if you're going to make a biopic about someone, especially as iconic as Bob Marley or Michael Jackson, it can't be surface level. It can't, because there's so much of their story to tell. And I understand that you only have so much time. But like if you're going to make a movie about it, and I know Ziggy Marley and a lot of Bob's family were producers on this film to make sure that, you know, they wanted Bob to be represented in a certain way. And I definitely think he was.
Yeah, it felt authentic. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it does feel authentic. It needs to feel authentic. But like we can't keep dancing around the bush or beating around the bush where it's like, you know, not every celebrity or icon out there is they're people too, is what I'm trying to say. They make mistakes. And I think that you have to show both sides of the person's life, not saying that, oh, you know, Bob Marley wasn't anyone, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, he was, you know, a phenomenal person, phenomenal musician, phenomenal political icon. But you know, we're only human, we make mistakes, and I feel like within this movie we hear about some of Bob's mistakes and we see a little bit of outlash from him. Not saying you have to focus that deep on, you know what I mean, kind of like with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier. It's like they set up these conflicts, but then they didn't really resolve all of them, like especially right. They kind of hinted at that he had other women in his life, but they never really showed it or confirmed it. Like they're just kind of in the background, and then that never really comes up again.
Right. And I think part of showing a biopic, and I'm not sure if I was making any sense, but it's more of, you have to show, you know, their successes, you know, their impact on the world, but you also have to show their trials and tribulations and the hardships that they went through throughout their life as well. And I feel like, I think that's why Walk the Line for me just sets that bar, because it shows the impact of Johnny Cash, but it also shows the demons that he was facing as a human being. And I feel like we didn't really get that with Bohemian Rhapsody. We didn't really get it with Bob Marley as well. But those, I think that's a better way to describe it. Not saying, oh yeah, you have to show all the bad stuff that they do, but like, no, like we as humans, we battle. There's things in our lives that, you know, that we have to go through, and you know, we have to show those struggles, those trials and whatnot. But like, I did enjoy it. It's just very surface level, and I'm like, I wish they were able to go deeper. And another issue is that I had, as authentic as it was, I felt like I needed some subtitles at certain times because I could not make out what they were saying. I'm not sure if it was the dialect themselves or if it was the sound mixing.
You felt like Michael Gandolfini's character, the producer guy that comes in and can't understand them.
Well, a little bit. I mean, and it wasn't really Bob, like what Kingsley, it was everyone else. Like just like, so the confrontation between Rita and Bob, where, you know, they're having that fight on the street, like in the middle of like London. And like, I could kind of make out what they were saying, but like, it was like the accent was almost
authentic. It's just like cultural differences at that point where you can like pick up words here and there, but you're not like putting it all together because it's just so different.
Yeah, and I don't mean for it to be a knock. Like, it is an issue, but at the same time, it is authentic. But I think maybe some subtitles might have helped with that. Because, like, you know, if it's going to be that authentic, you know, you run with it. That is, that if that's the movie you want to make, then that's the movie you want to make. But, yeah, just, I'm going to have to rewatch it with some subtitles just to kind of understand a few things. So it's like, I'm pretty sure she's saying this, but like, I didn't want to, it felt like I couldn't really follow along altogether. But that's just, it's kind of like a 50-50 issue that I had. But like, I mean, you know, the music's always great and they kind of sprinkle that throughout the film. But yeah, I thought it was fine. Like I just wish we would have gotten more. But I want to pass it back over to you.
Now that you mention it, like, we didn't really get much of any of his upbringing. Like, he just kind of mentions in passing, like, that his dad was in Delaware or whatever it was.
His mom was in Delaware and his dad was, like, a white man. And, yeah, we didn't really get too much.
We don't really, like, get like, all the parts in the field with the horse and everything. But we don't really get any, like, concrete information as to what his upbringing was like. Just that his mom left and went to Delaware. We just didn't dive any deeper than that.
And at times, it felt like this movie, much like Priscilla. I'm not sure if you saw that movie with, you know, it's about the, you know, Priscilla Presley. It felt like that movie in a sense where people who know Priscilla Presley, people who are familiar with Priscilla, them walking into that movie, they're like, oh my gosh, yes, like this is the best movie ever. I feel like it was the same way almost with Bob Marley, where it's like, if you were not familiar with the story of Bob Marley, you know, again, passed away at 36 years old from skin cancer. If you were not familiar with the person and the political icon that was Bob Marley before going into it, you might be a little lost. But yeah, I wanted to see more of his upbringing because it's usually what biopics do in a way. But again, it just depends on what story you want to tell. I feel like they were focusing on a specific time of Bob Marley's life, but then at the same time, they were jumping like years and years and years ahead. But there's just so much there that I feel like I said earlier, this probably should have been a music documentary, like an 8-hour miniseries. So you can really get to know this person. And like another example is like Ed Sheeran did a docuseries with Disney Plus called The Sum of It All. It's basically his journey leading up from his new album or one of his newest albums, Minus, and the effect of how his the death of his friend, Jamal, has affected that album and a few other things that was happening with his life, like a court case, his wife having like a tumor and like being pregnant during that time. So there's a lot to unpack there. And I was like, wow. Like, I listened to Minus, like Ed Sheeran's, one of his latest albums, and I liked it. And I was like, it's not my favorite. But then I watched the series, and then I learned more about the creative process about the album and what it represented. Now I love it. It's like one of my favorite albums that he's ever made, because it's not an album that is, you know, oh, you know, this is for entertainment. Like, no, there was a lot going on during his life, during a certain moment of his life that he poured into that album. And knowing what I know from the docuseries on Disney Plus, I'm able to appreciate that album more. And I wish that Bob Marley, One Love, that this movie was able to have the same effects. Like, they kind of go into Exodus, which is like his like best album, but it's like, it's just not, it's not really there, but it did get me to go back and listen to his music again. So it did its job.
There is a documentary that came out in 2012, it looks like, called Marley. And it was around 2.5 hours long and definitely has some good reviews. So I think that might be a documentary
that for people to look into.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I think towards the end, I think it was during the credits, they were showing actual footage of Bob Marley, like, and everything. It just felt like way more electric than the whole rest of the movie did. And that just kind of shows the faults of the casting overall. Like, I understand it's how difficult it must be to try to cast Bob Marley, but I just feel like it didn't work here. It was tough.
Yeah, it's tough. It with specific icons, it's just hard. And we also,
but you brought up that Michael Jackson biopic. I don't know if you saw the pictures that came out recently.
I did.
The casting for that, it looks like identical.
It is scary accurate how his nephew looks just like him. Like, even with like the prosthetics and everything they did during like his like bad phase during that album, leading onwards. But yeah, it looks good. But again, I'm nervous because I'm like, you know, Michael Jackson is one of my favorite artists, if not my favorite artist of all time. And it's like, I'm nervous, but I'm going to go watch it. Do we need it? I don't know, because I'm not sure if you remember that HBO documentary that released, and they had to take it off the service, just like in general. I don't know if you can find it anywhere or not, but apparently there was a lot of inaccuracies where people were lying about certain things. We're not going to get into it, but it got to the point where it was so bad where HBO just had to pull it from their network. And I don't know, maybe Zaslav shelved it. We just don't know. But I agree. It's not that there's miscasting. It's just, I'm not sure if this movie should have came out during Valentine's Day. I get it. Wanting it to release during Black History Month, which is important. But yeah, there was, it's missing a few things. So I was like, oh, this looks awesome. And then when you're watching it, it's like, yeah, like I just kept waiting for like things that I didn't know about Bob Marley to pop up, and it kind of just glossed over a lot of things, and some things happened off screen, and, you know, they mentioned certain confrontations or aspects, but they don't really just dig into it. So I don't know. But overall, I did enjoy it. And, you know, it got me to start listening to Bob's music again. So Bob Marley and the Wailers. But let's get into our final thoughts and our ratings. Or did you have anything else you wanted to say for your final thoughts here? And then we'll get into our ratings. I'll pass it over to you.
Yeah, that wraps up most of it, I think, as far as the final thoughts goes. Like we've said, it's decent overall. Like, there's definitely a lot of positives, but then there's just some things missing for me, specifically the casting of Bob Marley. It's tough to look past in certain areas. It's just such a different look he has. It just kind of takes you out of it. as far as the score goes, I'd probably go with like a 63. Like it's solid. Like it's a decent biopic. If you want, if you're a big Bob Marley fan, definitely go see it. Definitely has its issues, but not terrible.
I would have to agree with you. I'm going to give this like a solid 60 out of 100. On Rotten Tomatoes right now, it's around a 41% on the critic side with 53 reviews tagged in. And I don't think it deserves that low of a score, but yeah, I would give it just like a solid 60 out of 100. For pretty much the same reasons Devin was saying, there was just something missing that, you know, it's almost like them making a dramatic film about Bob Marley's life instead of it actually being like a musical biopic. And I feel like not Rotten Tomatoes, Bohemian Rhapsody did the same thing, where it was more dramatized versus informational. But another good one that I actually forgot to mention that I also think hits the bar is Straight Outta Compton. I think that's a great one as well that people should go check out, where it is a movie, but it tells the story of NWA in an informative and entertaining way. But yeah, this felt more like more drama than a musical biopic. But so you said a 63 out of 100, correct? Or 62?
Yep. 63. Right.
63. So Devin's going to give it a 63 out of 100. I'm giving it a 60 out of 100. So the official podcast score for Bob Marley, One Love, is what, a 62.5? 61.5? 62.5. Yeah. We'll say 62.5 because I don't feel like grabbing out the calculator. So that is going to be our official podcast score for Bob Marley. One Love is a 62.5 out of 100. And that concludes today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard on today's episode, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred podcast platform of choice. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Film Optics. That is Optics with an X. And don't forget to share an episode of our podcast with a fellow movie lover in need, whether it be your mother, your brother, or your significant other. Spread the love for the Film Optics podcast. And now let's take a sneak peek at what is coming up next for you to listen when it comes to our reviews. So we are going to be covering Madam Web, I believe. That's going to be coming out within the next week. And we're seeing Dune Part 2 early, so we're definitely going to have that out the week of release leading up to the March 1st release date that's going to be hitting theaters, so definitely check that out. So as far as new review releases or new releases you can listen to right now, you can listen to our most anticipated TV shows of 2024 episode. And we also did our most anticipated movies of 2024 episode, as well as our Percy Jackson and the Olympians season 1 review. You can also check out our Mean Girls 2024 review and our Argyle review that are available on audio podcast platforms around the interweb. And with all that said, thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads for the latest updates. That was Devin, and my name is Christian, signing off. And remember, life is like a movie, so go out there and make it a blockbuster.
Peace.